great to have you here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's all about you and that wallet of yours. I want you to learn ideas from me so that you can keep more of what you make. Now, that is the mission, is to help you keep more of what you make. And so I have a responsibility to serve you with advice, information, and guidance that gets that done. But there are times that you feel that I don't hit all the points I should, or you feel I'm just wrong. And that's why we have Clark Stinks at Clark.com, where you can go on and post where you feel I've come up short. And then once a week, our producer Krista goes through your posts on Clark Stinks and shares highlights with you right here on the air.
I should have never encouraged you to speak.
You must think I'm pretty stupid.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe you're right, pal.
All right, I'm going to start out with an in-person Clark Stinks. I just overheard. I have some of my family here in the studio today, and my brother-in-law, Joe Chapa, listens to the show. And what did you say to me about Clark Stinks?
Oh, actually, I got it from my daughter, who said, if you ever wanted to change the name, a good way to go maybe in the future would be Roast Clark.
Roast Clark. I don't know. That doesn't sound mean enough.
That's what I said. You like this. All right, let's get to this one. 401k lower fees aren't always better. Not so much a Clark Stinks, but rather jumps to conclusions without having listeners do enough research. I've often heard you tell listeners to move old 401ks to their current employer if fees are lower. I changed jobs just over a year ago, and both my previous and current employer use Fidelity and have target retirement date funds. The old one had a 0.64% expense fee, while the new one has a 0.07%. I thought this was a no-brainer to switch using Clark's advice to go for lower fees. Then I looked closer at the funds. The old one pays dividends while the new one doesn't. Last year's dividends paid over $8,000, easily offsetting the high expense fee. Again, not so much a Clark Stinks, but just a word of caution that even within the same provider and similar names, not all funds are apples to apples and need to be researched closer before making a decision. Tim.
Tim, thank you for that. Fidelity has two flavors of target retirement funds. They have one flavor that is really pretty managed by them, and the other is a collection of index funds. Both should benefit from the dividends thrown off by the companies inside the indexes that they use in the cheaper one or in the managed ones otherwise. And so I don't know how to account for how it appeared that one had $8,000 more in dividends than the other. But what Fidelity did by coming up with the index-based target retirement funds is made themselves competitive with Vanguard and other players with target retirement funds because they were sitting out there at very high expense ratios or costs per year with the version of target retirement funds that they were offering.
And a 403B stinky talk stinks. Chris Clark, this is written by Chris in South Texas. Clark, your 403B information is not up to date and that stinks. You only mentioned TIAA as a good option, but Fidelity is even better as far as I'm concerned. Very low cost index funds available and a brokerage link in case you absolutely need more options.
I appreciate that. One thing with any 403B plan and any 403B provider is what other costs are assessed besides the costs for the funds. One of the problems with the 403B market, which is targeted towards those who work at nonprofits, teachers, and people who work in hospitals, is that 403Bs often will have multiple layers of fees that make them a very, very expensive retirement choice. And so what I ask you to do is to dig in to your 403B plan, and you want to know all plan fees, all plan expenses, particularly if your 403B is managed by an insurance company. They are not going to be willing or very forthcoming. You're going to have to push hard to get that information.
Renting a car on vacation. Clark is awesome, but he forgot about sunk costs. On the show, Clark advised renting a car on vacation and cited a minimum cost of driving your own vehicle at 50 cents per mile. This number includes fixed costs like insurance and taxes that aren't relevant. It also includes the cost of fuel, which you'll have to pay for either way. When you consider only the relevant costs of maintenance and tires and maybe depreciation, the decision tips in favor of driving your own car, unless you can find a fantastic deal or are driving a very long way.
Wonderful post. Now, sunk costs, if you're aware of what that means the expenses you have just for breathing. When you own a car, there's a certain amount of cost just for having the vehicle, even if you don't start it up to drive down the road. But the advantage of renting a car versus driving your own are several. If you have an older vehicle, you will have potentially a much more reliable one using a rental vehicle for your vacation. And if you are driving a long distance, as the poster mentioned as the last item, it is much cheaper to put a lot of miles in a short period of time on somebody else's vehicle versus your own. In addition, if you are used to driving an older vehicle and you rent a newer one and you're going on a long trip, the creature comforts you're likely to have in that newer vehicle will make it not just about money, but make it a more comfortable drive as well.
Another one about car rentals. Clark, this isn't really a Clark stinks so much as an I know something you don't know, haha. On your show, you spoke to someone about one-way car rentals and mentioned that only National used to do reasonably priced one-way rentals. However, Budget still does. I had to rent a car to drive all the way from Houston, Texas to Ann Arbor, Michigan this past Christmas, and it only cost me $145 for the four-day rental. I tried renting one with Enterprise before I tried Budget. Enterprise wanted to charge me nearly $1,000 for the exact same terms. I don't know if things have changed since Christmas, but they haven't. If they haven't, Budget is a great option for one-way rentals. Thanks, Brian.
Brian, several things. First, you point out something that I failed to mention with car rentals, and that is there are all kinds of reasons why a car rental company may want a car in a different place in the country. It could be one that was a one-way rental that is owned by a franchise that needs to get somewhere else, and you could get a cheap price that way. There are many, many layers to this. But the thing that I can't get out of my mind, Brian, your relatives in Michigan at Christmas should have come to Texas instead of you going at Christmas time from Texas to Michigan.
All right, a few different items from this one person. First, when you talk about going cashless, you never mention the biggest drawbacks as I see it. This is the loss of privacy. When all of your transactions are made using a card, every single purchase can be tracked by the ever-present surveillance apparatus of private industry and the government. Using cash prevents a lot of those records from being created on us. Second, we all appreciate you, Clark. But just about every caller now wastes precious airtime thanking you for all you do, etc. I think your callers should be coached not to use precious airtime to thank you for all you do. And I just use more airtime reading that. Third, you have a caller recently talking about glowingly about her OBD monitoring service that she pays $10 a month for. She was just a little too helpful and positive about the service. I think she may have been trying to sneak in a commercial message. At least she didn't say the name of the service, just my opinion.
So let me see if I can remember, because those things are all so unrelated.
Right.
So
going cashless and privacy.
Well, I was doing it backwards.
Oh, sorry, go.
So on the person who you felt may be pitching a product, that's something we have to look out for all the time on the show, is when somebody calls supposedly with a question or a comment, and they're actually trying to shill a particular product or service. And so that is something that we all have our radar up about. On the question about speaking to me about, you know, enjoying the show or thanking me or whatever, a lot of times when somebody first goes on the air, they're nervous about going on the air and they need to collect their thoughts before they start speaking. And so exchanging pleasantries is a way to settle down. And the most important thing is that people be calm and are able to share the information they need to with me. And on the first thing, which was, now I forgot.
Going cashless.
Going cashless. Privacy. So there's a bigger issue with cashless, which I think I addressed in the segment you were mentioning. And that is that when people use plastic or electronic forms of payment, like paying with a smartwatch or their phone or whatever, they tend to spend more money than they do with cash. So you do have the issue of surveillance. You also have the issue of control of spending, but it's no doubt the direction we're headed, where people will pay electronically. And I think how many places now no longer take cash. And that is clearly a trend. A lot of places that are open late, like bars, don't want to take cash because the danger it presents with armed robberies late at night for the closers of a restaurant or bar. And the safety issue is one key reason you're going to see more and more places that serve the public refuse to take cash.
Clark, I was listening to you talking about various types of insurance, car, homeowners, etc., on the podcast, and kept waiting for you to mention that renters need to insure their possessions while living in rental housing. Renter's insurance is cheap and can make you whole if your home suffers a catastrophic loss. Friends of mine had lightning strike a tree adjacent to their rented home this week, and they had over $3,000 of home electronics give up the ghost. Thankfully, they have insurance and will be able to replace the TV, Roku, TiVo, etc. When you talk about insurance needs, don't forget that renters have assets inside their home that need protection. Thanks, P.D. Henry.
P.D. Henry, you're my hero, because so few people who rent, which is a third of American adults rent, so few of those renters ever consider buying renter's insurance, which is $10 to $20 a month typically, and provides great protection for your possessions. There's so many things that can happen in a rental unit that you think, oh, that's going to be the landlord's responsibility, but it's not. It falls back on you. And that's why getting renter's insurance, usually if you don't know who to go to, whoever insures your automobile would be a great place to start to get a quote on renter's insurance. The great thing also for the friends that had that stuff go wrong is they're now able to replace those electronics so much cheaper, because prices drop so much on electronics all the time. I appreciate all your posts. Go to Clark.com, go to Clark Stinks, and let me know where you feel I've missed the mark.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Rodney is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Rodney.
Hi, how you doing?
Great, thank you, Rodney. You are going to retire at an age lots of people are going to be green with envy over, aren't you?
Well, I'm a public school educator, and as far as my state pension, I'll have enough to live pretty much the way I am now, as far as the money I'm going to be getting per month. But the concern is medical insurance until 65. And so talking to some of my colleagues, of course, a lot of people are working beyond just for the medical insurance. And just wanted to check with you of some options I might not be aware of.
So the options have become more limited for what you can do. So how early are you thinking of retiring? What age?
55.
All right. So let me just lay out bare facts. Health insurers don't want to insure anybody past about their 50th birthday, because as we get older, we have more things that wear out in the body, and we can end up with more medical expenses. And they just don't want to have to deal. So as we're in this never-never land right now, with Obamacare still existing, but the Republicans wanting to kill it off, we have fewer insurers available for you to buy on the exchange. And so I don't have a clear crystal ball how to predict for you what's going to happen with the individual health insurance market. So are you retiring in the next year? Or how soon are you thinking?
5 years.
Five years? Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Don't worry about it because, you know, the political dust will settle on the individual health insurance market, I'm guessing, in the next couple of years.
Okay.
And so...
Yeah, I just know a lot of educators, as they've tried to retire and they end up coming back to work because of the health insurance situation.
Right. And I understand that. You know, it is brutally tough in your 50s and early 60s because, you know, with insurers not wanting to insure anybody past their 50th birthday and Medicare not starting to age 65, there's this 15-year window that has become very, very hard to be able to get health insurance and be able to afford it. So with a five-year horizon here, I would say it's a question mark that is unresolved at this time, and you just need to let the clock run for a while to see where we end up on how individuals will or won't be able to buy health coverage.
Well, at least it's a little bit of good news. It sounds like you think the dust will settle in a couple of years for more options.
Well, you know, I don't know how the dust will settle.
Yeah.
But right now, there's no way to answer the question where you'd be 5 years from now if you'd have to keep working involuntarily just to get health benefits, or if there will be a viable way for you to have health coverage. And that's just not clear at all. So give the clock some time to run.
Okay, great. Well, I appreciate all you do for us.
Well, thank you. And I wish I could give you a rock solid answer what to do, but this is one of those things none of us can control right now, and we just got to let it play out. It's great to have you here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about your empowerment with knowledge so you can save more and spend less. And don't let anyone ever rip you off. You can follow me at facebook.com/Clark Howard. And speaking of Facebook, along with several other companies, depending on how many companies you do business with, you have been receiving over the last many weeks these weirdo privacy notices. And it's because of something I discussed with you a month or two ago, how Europe has these new laws requiring new powers for Europeans as consumers of information on the web and doing business with e-commerce companies, where you now have this power to control what information they collect, what they do with the information, and you even have the power to tell them to delete what they have about you if you're a European. So where does that fit in with you and me? Why are we getting all these notices? Well, a lot of companies, for simplicity's sake, and to make sure they don't end up in violation of the European Union rules, are extending either the same protections to us in America as Europeans are getting, the same choices, or a modified version of it. But one of the things they've had to do is simplify their privacy policies, simplify the wording of them, and simplify your ability to change the settings. So with everybody who sends you those things, most of us just accept, right? But if there are people deep in your life like Facebook or Google or Apple, maybe Amazon as well, don't just click make decisions, make choices to restrict what they have on you and how they use it. Facebook has done the bare minimum that they needed to, and shame on them with all the scandals engulfing Facebook, that they're still being piggy instead of being smart. Google did a fantastic job. Google makes it ultra, ultra easy for you to know what they have on you, to purge a lot of what they have on you, and to restrict what they collect on you moving forward. Google did not do it for Americans to the degree that they were required to do for Europeans, but they did a nice job for us. Apple, there's not a lot to do for Apple because in a lot of categories, Apple does not collect, although Apple ended up with a little mud on its face, I guess is the expression, egg on its face. It's the right expression, because they were doing some stuff with Facebook they shouldn't have been doing, spying on their customers. But now that that's exposed, hopefully Apple will dial back from that. At Clark.com, we have the steps for you for the biggies, the big players who are so much in our lives, for you to actually take the time and show you how to do it, to change the settings. And this is something you only have to do this one time for the foreseeable future. And it will take you very little time. The Google one I did took me under 2 minutes. And probably similar for the other big sites except Facebook, which I'm just very unhappy with how they've handled this. But be that as it may, Facebook needs an attitude adjustment. I want to share something with you that I talked about on the air earlier this week about Sprint. Sprint has been offering this week the best deal on cell phone service there's ever been. $15 a month for unlimited talk, unlimited text, unlimited data for anybody who fires who they're with now and will come to Sprint. And they never said when this offer was going to end, but now, almost like in a panic, they say it's ending today because so many people have signed up for it. It has way gone beyond what they expected as customer capture. So this is it. If you've procrastinated all week and you want to have your cell phone bill at $15 a month plus junk fees, and this even works for one individual, you need to jump on this thing right away. Annie is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Annie. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Thank you, Annie. So you are looking for somebody to be your guru with your money.
Exactly. A personal advisor. How do we pick one? And where do we pick it from?
That is a great question, and one that got easier for a while and has now gotten more difficult again because there was a rule marching forward called the fiduciary rule, which is now dead. And the fiduciary rule meant that somebody you hired had to be working in your best interests. So now it's open hunting season on you and me again with most of the people in financial services that are allowed under the law to tell you whatever they want, even if it's just stuff that makes them money, no matter what harm it brings to you. So it raises the stakes for you to hire somebody who's really there for you. Can I learn a little bit more from you, Annie, about your situation? What are you hoping to accomplish with a financial advisor?
Somebody that will tell me where to put my money, what will earn the best, you know, interest, or what will make me the most money, whether it be real estate, annuities, mutual funds, you know, there's so many options. So you want somebody that's going to advise you that's not only, like you said, for their gain. You know,
right.
If you go to a bank, the bank will tell you put the money with them because they make money off your money. So how do you know who to trust and who do you go with?
So are you looking for someone who you're married to for a long time who would be your shepherd with helping your money grow over the years? Are you looking for somebody just to take your temperature and do a checkup and send you on your way?
Long term, as life situation changes, as financial situations change, you know, they're keeping an eye on the market. They know what's going on.
Okay, I got it for you. I know exactly what to recommend.
Okay, go.
I want you to go to the website of NAPFA, which is the National Association of Personal Financial Advisors.
Okay.
NAPFA members have to put you first.
Okay.
And so what will happen is if you go to NAPFA.org, you'll put in your zip code, and they'll tell you people that are near you.
Okay.
And that's only the first step, because even if somebody's putting your interests first, Annie, they may not be somebody you click with.
Right.
Or they may not really be listening to you or hearing what you're really trying to accomplish or asking the kind of questions you would hope that a professional would ask you. So what I'd like for you to do is get a list of people in your area from NAPFA, and then you call them up and you interview them. And I'd like you to, I know this is going to be a little time consuming, but I'd like you to have a phone call with five of them.
Okay.
And after you talk to the five people, you'll know who you want to zero in on and maybe do face-to-face interviews with a couple of them.
Okay, so I interview them, grill them.
That's right, because who's the customer? You're the customer, right, Annie?
Absolutely. And can I just tell you a side note?
Sure.
My father loves you, and if he hears this on the air, he's probably blushing because I said it.
What's your dad's name?
Daniel. He thinks you are the greatest thing since peanut butter jelly.
Well, you can tell him he's really mistaken, but Daniel, I'm so glad that you are a devoted listener.
Okay, well, I will make those calls, and I will start my interview process, and hopefully I'll end up with a great financial advisor.
I'm sure you will doing that process. Best to you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks. And Craig is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Craig.
Hey, hello, Clark. I've listened to you for so long, I can't believe I finally got to talk to you.
Well, it's great to get to speak to you. I'm sorry we left you on hold for about 90 minutes. Just kidding.
Yeah, it felt like it. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, Clark, I wanted to ask you something. I'm 63 years old, going on 64, and kind of struggling with retirement accounts. I have an IRA, a Roth IRA, and a 401k with a present employer. I talked to a lot of advisors and read several that say just put it all in the target date funds and let it be managed that way. And if it's too complicated to pick individual ones, just do that. But and had one here recently tell me the same thing. But since I'm so close to retirement, maybe 3, 4, 5 years off, I thought, and with interest rates going up, I thought the nearer target date funds were more heavily dated towards bonds, which could be going down here soon if rates go up.
Sure. And target date funds are not all created equally. Some of them are doing basically what you just said. They're doing a balanced fund kind of mix, which is usually 60% stocks, 40% bonds. And that's not really thinking it through like a sophisticated target retirement fund does, which would have a variety of investment choices in it, a mix that would be appropriate for someone who is a few years away from retirement. And so if you were looking at a target retirement fund 2020, it's actually really easy with them now to see what they are putting their money in.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go with one of the big providers of these, the two bigs are Fidelity and Vanguard.
Yeah.
And you look at how they do their target retirement funds, you'd see they're more sophisticated than just doing like a balanced fund mix of stocks and bonds.
Good. well, I'm willing to take on a little more risk, even though, you know, I'm only a few years out, but would it maybe be better to go into like a 2030 target date?
That depends on the answer to this question. Uh-huh. What are you going to live on when you retire?
Social Security and, you know, savings. And
so no employer-provided pension?
No.
And the money in these, in the IRA, the Roth, the 401k, that's money you're going to need to live on, at least in part, once mm-hmm. you retire?
Yes, to a small degree, yes.
Okay, because what I don't want you to do, I don't want you to be in a position where you are too aggressive with your retirement money mm-hmm. and then have a need to draw on it during a down cycle in investments. Mm-hmm. So going... when your goal is to retire like 2021, 2022, going much mm-hmm. past the 2020 fund starts amping up the level of risk, and
right.
that makes me nervous for you.
Okay.
So, you know, it's your choice and it's your retirement. And what a lot of times happened 10 years ago when people had too much risk in their funds,
yeah.
and then the bottom fell out of the stock market, people had to delay their retirement for from a few to several years.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want you to take on the level of risk that that could happen to you.
Okay. Okay, so stick with the 2020 or just don't do it at all.
You could compromise. You could compromise. You could do 2020 for some of your money and 2025 for other parts of your money, since your retirement period is going to be sometime between 2020 and 2025.
Oh, okay. That's a good idea. Great. Thanks.
And that would mix up the level of risk and maybe get you to a more ideal profile. So that would potentially work as well. And just till the years you retire, slap as much money aside in savings and investment as you possibly can. It's time for Ask Clark. That's where you post a question for me at clark.com. And then producer Joel asks it for you. And Joel, what you got?
Clark, Steve wants to know, can you get a free credit report or credit score if your credit is frozen?
Well, there's a lot of answers to that question that I would have liked to answer easily. So let me start with the procedures I would go through. If your credit's frozen, you may still have access at least to your score for free from any of a number of credit cards that you may have. It's a common benefit now from credit card companies, who started several years ago by Discover and now is available. The biggest credit card issuer in the country, I think they are Chase, offers your credit score with many of the Chase credit cards as a freebie if you sign into your Chase credit card dashboard, as an example. And so this is true with many American Express cards now, that you can have your score for free. And these scores are available to you because credit card companies check your credit score every single month to decide if there are danger signs that they should cut you off or cut you back on your limit. So that is the first and best place for someone whose credit is frozen. Second thing is you can go to annualcreditreport.com and get your report once each year for free from each bureau, even if your credit's frozen. Third, when the time comes that you thaw your credit for some purpose, while it's thawed for that other purpose, set up a Credit Karma account or Credit Sesame or both, and you're able to monitor your credit reports and or scores for free whenever you wish, even once your credit is frozen again.
All right, Clark. Kathy wrote in. She says, Clark, I've got both a Roth IRA and a regular IRA. What would you use first in retirement and why?
Usually you're using a mix of the regular and the Roth. The reason is the money you pull out of the regular is taxable. And in your overall tax picture, you wouldn't want to take out too much from the taxable IRA each year. And that's why you could pull money out of the Roth. The exception is this. If you don't truly need the entire universe of that money to live on, you want to hold off taking your Roth money for as long as you can, because it is the greatest of your retirement assets for the next generation to inherit. Not that I'm already putting you in the other world yet, but I'm saying as a strategy, having money left over in a Roth rather than a regular is really great for your survivors. You're listening to The Clark Howard Show. I appreciate you spending part of your day with us here on The Clark Howard Show. I want you to know that if you need consumer advice, we're here to serve you off air for free, 9 hours a day. If you go to Clark.com and go down the home screen, you'll see a section, Consumer Help and Tools. Click on Consumer Action Center, and you can get that free off-the-air advice.